psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, first of all, there's not but one. I've seen one African American, Chuck, in this entire group. Why do you think that
free.
Is?
We were not invited.
Did you?
I came on my own because I heard and I said, "Oh my God, I am being taxed like that."
So, Chuck, I think you can kind of get the tenor of this. Once again, I got to tell you, I have only seen one African American. It's a totally white group. And most people here are saying that CNN is not fair.
We've had quite a growth in these groups going all the way back to the year 2000. That's been largely driven by the group's exploitation of the issue of immigration. They talk, of course, about people with brown skin heading north and so on. But as the DHS report points out, and we did also, there are two new factors playing, and that those, of course, are the election of President Obama, a black man in the White House, And just now, the worsening economy, which I think is very likely to play a role in the future growth of these groups.
You are listening to the voice of the enemy of the United States of America, the voice of Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center with that whiny, nasally New York communist voice attacking veterans, those who oppose abortion, those who love our borders, those who oppose the invasion from Mexico. Those who oppose homosexual marriage are the enemies of Mark Potok. And that was the man behind the DHS report. He was, of course, featured on the Crescent News Network. You also heard a white blonde reporter of no note saying that at the tea parties today, she did not see any African Americans in the group. Again, so concerned. Just oh so concerned about the color coding of various protests. Well, let me say this. Nobody prohibited African Americans from attending the Tea Party protests, did they? And since you want to talk about taxes, here's an interesting fact for you. We were able to get data on income broken down by race from Big Brother. Big Sister tells us that whites earn more than blacks and whites earn more than Hispanics. But Big Sister will not disclose how much tax dollars or how many tax dollars are paid by whites, blacks, and browns. And that is, I'll repeat that. The government will not disclose where the taxes come from, only who has more money. And so you understand the problem we have here today in America, don't you? Now, you heard the whiny, nasally voice of the hater of America, Mark Potok, of the extremist radical Southern Poverty Law Center, who has targeted patriotic Americans, including returning military, as the enemies of America. I want you to listen to the rest of this in clip 30 now.
I wouldn't say they targeted the group. They pointed out, and I think quite rightly, that at times like these, when you have people in fairly large numbers coming home from hot wars like Afghanistan and Iraq, you do have a lot of interest on the part of the radical right in recruiting these people, and sometimes you get very angry people coming out of that situation. One need think only of Timothy McVeigh, who, of course, really conceived his hatred for the
this
government.
This piece of human trash, Mark Potok, in my opinion, is the worst that America has ever produced. Now, he is director of the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center's so-called intelligence project. But what you don't know about Mark, you can tell by his accent, he comes from a communist New York background. That's a given. What you don't know is that he was a reporter at USA Today, the Dallas Times Herald, and at the Miami Herald. What you don't know is that this communist slime bag, while at USA Today, covered the 1993 siege in Waco, where 80 people were killed under the guise of threatening children, killed by his friends in the Justice Department of the Janet Reno. This same piece of garbage covered the rise of militias, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the trial of Timothy McVeigh. In 1996, his verminous editors, who are now out of business, nominated him for a Pulitzer Prize for stories on racism in Texas public housing. I want to explain to you what we are facing today. Far left, marginal, radical communists in America have now been brought up to the mainstream under Mao Bama. Chairman Mao Bama has taken these marginal left-wing psychopaths and moved them up inside the Mao Bama administration. And if you disagree with Mao Bama, the government may be looking out for you. Do you hold conservative views on immigration? That means you believe in protecting our borders. Do you believe that abortion is a crime against the unborn? Do you fear the UN? Do you see the New World Order emerging? Are you opposed to the bailouts of Washington? Are you aware that if you agree with any of those positions, you may be on a government watch list? That's right. The so-called Department of Homeland Security, under so-called Chief of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, who has said there is no longer a threat from radical extremism. I don't think you understand what's going on here. Homeland Security was a department that was controversial when it was created after 9/11. Many of us warned you that it would be used against the American citizens themselves, that taxpayers would be footing the bill for another blown-up, useless department because we have the FBI already. Well, Janet Napolitano has said that Islamic Jihad on American soil is no longer a problem. She now refers that as man-caused disasters. Instead, this new DHS under the Mao Bama administration is sounding an alarm over a resurgence in right-wing extremism when there has been none whatsoever. And the 9-page warning memo that is being sent out to your local police by these fascists can be seen in its entirety on michaelsavage.com. And it's no accident that Janet Napolitano, anti-American that she is, in my opinion, disseminated this report a week before the April 15 Tax Day Tea Party protests. You may not know it, but this will backfire on the Mao Bama administration in ways they can't imagine. The reason is this is a coalition of fiscal conservatives, independents, libertarians, and even Blue Dog Democrats who are outraged by Mao Bama's big government spending and bailouts for the cronies on Wall Street. The fact of the matter is this monster loose-knit movement has been the biggest success against the Mao Bama administration imaginable. And yet liberal bloggers have likened you and the Tea Party movement to neo-Nazis and militia members. This movement by Janet Napolitano, by Mark Potok, poo, I'd like to spit in his face, and their attempts to demonize the Tea Party movement are all a result of the fact that they know that the illegitimate Mao Bama administration is in trouble with the mainstream American voter. Moreover, the report that was put out by DHS was leaning on the work of the radical, extremist, marginal Southern Poverty Law Center in an attempt to stir up hatred against military veterans, calling them hate-oriented. Well, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I am a proud right-winger, and I hope you are too. And I'll tell you a little something else. The Thomas More Law Center has filed a lawsuit, or will be filing a lawsuit, on my behalf. They're filing a Freedom of Information Act to find out if you're on the list, to find out who's on the government watch list. And when we get to the bottom of it, if I find out this piece of turd from New York, Mark Potok, has fingered me, I will go after every penny that that man has ever illegally taken from anybody. You may not know who this group is. This vile group, the Southern Poverty Law Center, stole a farm from a Texan who tried to protect his land from invasion by Mexicans who were running all over his land. The man stood his ground, protected a ranch that had been in his family for 3 generations, and these pieces of trash, these gangsters in the Southern Poverty Law Center, sued the rancher and took the ranch away from him, and worse, gave it to the Mexican illegal alien. They are now working hand in glove with Janet Napolitano and the Mao Bama administration. That's what we are facing. Chicago, John, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I thought you'd like to know that the BBC news site has an article on this DHS report from Janet Totalitariano, and it discusses the anger among conservatives in the U.S., and it mentions one talk show host in particular, and that's Michael Savage. And it includes.
Well, I'm glad the BBC is doing the job that the American media isn't doing.
Yeah, well done. Thank you.
I am glad the BBC is doing the job that the rats in the American media are not doing. Instead, we have the sad sacks of CNN. Here you have a white woman no one ever heard of, a self-hating white woman who couldn't get a job as a hooker, or a parent hired by Mr. Klein of CNN, who puts her on the air and stands in front of a Tea Party protest today and says the following in clip 7.
Did you know, well, first of all, there's not but one, I've seen one African-American, Chuck, in this entire group. Why do you think
we're
that
free.
Is?
We were not invited.
Did you?
I came on my own because I heard, and I said, oh, my God.
So there was a 78-year-old woman saying, I wasn't invited. I came on my own. In other words, if a black wanted to come, nobody was preventing them from coming. And it goes to my main point. And I challenge anyone listening to this show to argue with me. We have government data coming out of the Obama administration showing that there's a disparity in income, that whites earn more than blacks and earn more than Hispanics. Oh, that's a real shock. But they won't tell you how much percentage-wise is paid in taxes by whites, blacks, and Hispanics. And that is because you'd be shocked to learn that 98% of all taxes are paid by hardworking white people. I'll be right back.
We've had quite a growth in these groups going all the way back to the year 2000. That's been largely driven by the group's exploitation of the issue of immigration. They talk, of course, about people with brown skin heading north and so on. But as the DHS report points out, and we did also, there are two new factors playing, and that those, of course, are the election of President Obama, a black man in the White House, and just now the worsening economy, which I think is very likely to play a role in the future growth of these groups.
So, Chuck, I think you can kind of get the tenor of this. Once again, I got to tell you, I have only seen one African-American. It's a totally white group. And most people here are saying that CNN is not fair.
Well, it could be the reason that the Tea Parties are largely white is because taxes are largely paid by white people. Let us review the data together. 50% of all Americans pay no taxes. That leaves 50% of the working people who do pay taxes. Now, since the largest majority of upper-income earners are white people, since they're all racist and they took it from slaves and have slave lands and whatnot, most of the upper-income people are white people, and therefore they pay most of the taxes. And now you go down the scale of income taxpayers, and you find that 98% is composed largely of working white people, okay? And that's the story in a nutshell. Now, if you don't like an America that has borders, if you don't like English as the language of the land, if you don't like the fact that abortion is too prevalent, if you don't like the fact that military veterans are coming back who have actual combat training, and so forth and so on, you are now being targeted by the U.S. government and by this vile hate group, the Southern Poverty Law Center. In my opinion, Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center should be on a government watch list for stirring up hatred and trying to provoke a race war in America. San Francisco, KNEW. Richard, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, it sounds to me like they're bringing back the McCarthy era, only instead of communists, they're going to hunt down conservatives.
Well, here's the interesting conundrum. Senator McCarthy was actually, number one, a war hero. Number two, Senator McCarthy, it later was proved, was 100% right. Communists had infiltrated the U.S. government in the 1950s. Communists had infiltrated Hollywood in the 1950s. Communists were making movies in the 1950s that were sympathetic toward the communist movement. And so, therefore, McCarthy was right. He was just ridiculed to death by the American media. Thank you for the call. Most people don't understand that. New York City, WOR. Francisco, welcome to the program.
The silent majority is finally waking up, Michael. They're finally taking their country back, and I think people are fed up with all the hypocrisy, with the stereotypes calling us racist because we want to set up for less taxes, less government. And also, we do need borders, and we do need to keep our language the English language.
That's right. Borders, language, culture has been the motto of the Savage Nation since 1994. Proudly so. Borders, language, culture. My motto for 15 years. I guess that makes me a right-wing extremist, Francisco.
But I'm proud to be a right-wing extremist. You
How
know why?
Is it possible that the head of Homeland Security has suddenly decided to turn attention away from acts of Islamic jihad on American soil, calling them only man-caused disasters, instead turning all of the power, all of the spying power of her agency on American citizens? How is this possible?
It's scary. It really is scary because, you know, I have two daughters, and I say, what type of country am I going to, you know, bring them up in? I believe this is the greatest
country. You're raising them up in a fascist left-wing dictatorship that has to be stopped right now. And I'm going to do it on this show, and I'm going to do it in the courts of law. I'm going to spend every dime I have to expose who did this to America. Now, I realize the danger I'm putting myself in by sticking my neck out. Don't think this is just a hollow conversation we're having. I recognize that when I put my name on a lawsuit against one of the most powerful women in the world, with an unlimited police budget, with unlimited surveillance, with unlimited goon squads, I recognize the danger I'm putting myself in. However, you know, there's an old saying that evil takes hold when good men do not speak out. Well, my friend, it's time for you to speak out. We have an illegitimate, out-of-control, rogue government that is turning on the best of us. And I will repeat those words. We have an illegitimate, rogue government that is turning on the best of Americans. How dare they target returning war veterans who risk their lives for this country so they could sit on their fat behinds collecting big fat government checks and big pensions? Did Janet Napolitano serve in Iraq or Afghanistan? Yet she has the nerve to let these wimps from NYU like Mark Potok go after returning war veterans? Shame on you, Napolitano!
Savage.
I wouldn't say they targeted the group. They pointed out, and I think quite rightly, that at times like these, when you have people in fairly large numbers coming home from hot wars like Afghanistan and Iraq, you know, you do have a lot of interest on the part of the radical right in recruiting these people, and sometimes you get very angry people coming out of that situation. One need think only of Timothy McVeigh, who, of course, really conceived his hatred for the government in the first Gulf War. So I think
Piece of human trash is Mark Potok of the so-called Southern Poverty Law Center, which to me is a criminal organization that has been robbing people of their money ever since it was created, stirring up racial hatred, turning people against each other. Here is a man targeting ex-military men, saying that they are all like Timothy McVeigh, using Timothy McVeigh over and over again as an example of a returning vet. Now, for that alone, Malbama should disassociate himself from Janet Napolitano and fire Janet Napolitano for publishing this lie. But Malbama obviously agrees with Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center, doesn't he? Now, today a report came out in the Washington Times that Janet Napolitano stands by the extremism report. She agrees with it. In other words, it was not done by rogue elements within the Homeland Security Department, as I had hoped. It was actually authored under her command, or under her, let us say, agreement. And so the outcry by veterans, which is just beginning, the outcry by patriots, which is just beginning, the outcry by every decent a law-abiding citizen, which is just beginning, will grow. And Napolitano does not understand the level of outrage in this country that she has provoked by saying that the United States is at risk to right-wing extremists. At the same time, she has completely, completely turned away from monitoring Islamovilles around America, which are existent, Islamic communities existent, training people in the use of firearms and how to kidnap Americans. There's been not one report on that from her department. And so that's the trouble we're in under the Obama administration. She said, as the department responsible for protecting the homeland, listen to this, DHS will continue to work with its state and local partners to prevent and protect against the potential threat to the United States associated with any rise in violent extremist activity. She does not talk about left-wing extremist activity. She does not talk about Islamic extremist activity. Instead, all of the hatred that the Obama perverts have for decent Americans has come out now in this report. Veterans, pro-lifers, are now targeted by this administration. Veterans and pro-lifers are now targeted, in case you don't know it. You may not know it, but American Legion National Commander David H. Rabine singled out the following sentence as objectionable because it suggests that veterans are more likely than non-veterans to commit terrorist acts. Quote, the possible passage of new restrictions on firearms and the return of military veterans facing significant challenges reintegrating into their communities could lead to the potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violent attacks. Close quote. That's your government and how it looks at military vets coming back from Afghanistan or Iraq. In a letter to Homeland Security Secretary, so-called Janet Napolitano, the head of the American Legion wrote that the American Legion shares the department's concern about white supremacists and anti-government groups, but he said the report is incomplete and lacks statistical evidence. He said, the American Legion is well aware and horrified at the pain inflicted during the Oklahoma City bombing, but Timothy McVeigh was only one of more than 42 million veterans who have worn this nation's uniform during wartime. To continue to use McVeigh as an example of the stereotypical disgruntled military veteran is as unfair as using Osama bin Laden as the sole example of Islam, Rabine wrote. Do you hear this? So in other words, this is racial profiling. This is political profiling. The very same thing these left-wing vermin complain they are against, they are doing. And so they are the extremists. Don't you get it? They are trying to provoke a race war in this country. 1-800-449-8255, phone number michaelsavage.com. New York City, Allen on WR. Go ahead, please.
Hello, Michael. Finally, after 6 years, I got through. I heard you on Wolfsburg today.
What is the question or comment?
The question and comment is things aren't like they used to be. Like you made an example with the father riding in the car with the son. He should take his son in the street and play.
All right, Allen, do you have a question for me?
Play some marbles. He should play Johnny on
it. Allen, you're not a talk show host. You don't get to just tell us what should be. This is a talk show. You have to ask a question or make a comment about what we're talking about. So please try to stay on topic.
Maybe I'm ignorant, but I want specific answers as what's a liberal, the right wing, the left wing, and so forth. Can you give an example?
Yes, I'll give an example. A right winger, of whom I am a proud member, believes in small and limited government. A left winger believes in a very large, powerful government that controls your life from cradle to grave. So where do you fall on that? Do you want a large government that tells you what to think, read, and eat?
No, I like to think on my own.
So you're a right winger?
That's right. I would like to.
Now you understand who a right winger is, according to the Obama administration. M-A-O-B-A-M-A, Obama administration. Okay? Here we go. 1-800-449. Any Tea Party goers out there want to call? Houston, Texas. Jonathan, go ahead, please.
First of all, these tea baggers are idiots. And anybody who thinks...
All right, what did you go to, the fourth grade? Fourth
Mike,
grade, fifth grade? What was your max, fifth grade?
Mike, I got it. Hey, look, check this out.
No, man. You hey look yourself, Buster. You're going to sit there and say millions of people are idiots when you don't know who they are? You know everybody who's out there, you can say they're all idiots?
They are idiots, man. First of all...
Well, maybe they could say that people like you are gangbangers. Would they be right?
Sure.
That you belong to a gang? Do you belong to a gang?
Nah, I'm an intelligent black man, okay?
I don't think you're too intelligent. I agree with the latter part of the description. Where's the intelligence quotient in what you're saying? How can you categorize everybody who's gone to a rally as being an idiot? How can you make that conclusion?
Everybody at this that's going to this rally is an idiot. I'm saying that, and I mean that. And it's, I'm so happy to see white people so mad. That makes me, oh, man, I can't tell you how good that feels. You know that?
Look, Jonathan, I recognize that you've had no education, and I'm not going to ridicule it. It's a product of a lack of luck in your life. But the fact of the matter is you've made no sense whatsoever thus far, and I'm going to have to say goodbye. I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about, okay? So we'll go on to the rest of the callers here. You're all welcome to call 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. If you're at a tea party and you're an idiot, I suppose you can call the show and tell that black caller from Houston what kind of idiot you are, because he apparently is a very intelligent black man by his own definition. Very intelligent black man by his own definition. And he believes anybody at a tea party is an idiot. And I guess he knows everything because he lives in Houston, and I guess they know everything down there. So we go to Chicago. Rosanna, welcome. What's on your mind?
Michael, thank you for exposing the Southern Poverty Law Center. I was, in fact, targeted by them last March. And they thought it was derogatory, but they named me one of the 22 most effective up-and-coming activists. I'm a woman of Mexican descent. I was one of the original Minutemen. I was the founder of...
Wait a minute. You were targeted by this vermin at the Southern Poverty Law Center, Mark Potok? He put you on what list?
I am... if you go on the Southern Poverty Law Center...
No. I'm not giving out a website to a verminous group like that. What did they target you for?
Because I'm a woman of Mexican descent who's very effective in speaking out against illegal immigration. They don't.
All right, like so it. Therefore you're the worst kind of enemy they could have. It would be like a black who's opposed to affirmative action.
You got that right.
Okay, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you, Rosanna. I'm going to make you famous. If you stay on the line, we're going to forward your contact to the folks at the Thomas More Law Center, and you'll see if you want to be named in a lawsuit against Janet Napolitano for targeting you. Stay on the line. Forward it on to our good friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center. We're going to use something that the liberals know how to use real well, and that's the courts. Because if we have to, we'll take this all the way to the Supreme Court with the help of the members of the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR, Pat, go ahead, please.
How you doing, Mike? Quite frankly, I just want to point out that at the end of World War II, since the Holocaust, and please, no aspersions to race here, but ultimately the Western civilization had a very profound right standing insofar as politics. And since that time, England, the United States, the Western culture has given away that power, and so far the liberal mindset has gained ground in the last several decades. And so ultimately my contention is that unfortunately it's going to run its course to the extreme left in the Western civilization, in the Western hemisphere, namely in a capitalist, quasi-capitalist society. And I think that...
Well, but to what do you ascribe this movement to the far left?
Because the same way that an organization that may be kind to animals, if someone's laying on the street and they're dying, is certainly as a compassionate person, we want to be compassionate to our fellow man. The problem is that when we go that far to the extreme left, we are losing sight of what it is. It's a balance.
Most people are decent and want to help others. Let's start with that. Most people are decent people. But these fools who think that this is a racist society have never lived, for example, in Yemen. These fools who consider this to be a racist society have never lived in China. These fools who think this is an evil society have never seen dogs being raised in cages for food in China. And that is because they're blind ignoramuses who live in a dreamland. But I don't even blame them. These are children who have been brainwashed by the National Education Association and the far left for the last 20 years. They don't know any better. They have no real world view. The newspapers have failed them. The schools have failed them. So they have no idea what goes on in the real world.
It's unfortunate that it will...
Now, if you add to this the large numbers of bums and deadbeats in America who don't work or who pay no taxes, 50% of people in America do not pay taxes, and these are people of working age. We're not including children. If you add this great influx, 30 million illegal aliens, largely from Mexico, who Obama wants to legalize in order to make sure that he gets elected, perhaps like Idi Amin, for the rest of his life, because once he has the plurality of the illegal alien voter It's the end of America as you know it. He could modify the Constitution. He could run like Idi Amin forever, and there's nothing you're going to be able to do about it. And that's why the greatest fight has not yet been fought, and the greatest challenge in your life has not yet been seen. And that will be when Malbama tries to legalize 30 million illegal aliens. Remember, once that happens, should the far left succeed, and they're trying to do it by scaring you out of the realms of the conservative movement, should they do that, and should 30 million illegal aliens from Mexico be granted citizenship, you know that 99.9% of them will vote for a Democrat, and you know, therefore, that you'll have a movement towards Chavez's like nation, if not Castro itself. It will be the end of freedom in this country. So get ready for the fight of your life. If you do not stop the Malbama administration, if you do not wake up these lousy, rotten, useless Republicans, and you, Blue Dog Democrats, if you continue to support your candidates from the Midwest who said they were conservative, who are only opposed to the bailouts of Wall Street, then you're going to lose the country and your children will be enslaved in this nation. As sure as I'm standing here, remember my motto and remember who created it. Borders, language, culture. I'll be back. Savage. Did you vote against homosexual marriage? You may be on a government watch list. Have you protested outside an abortion clinic? You may be on a government watch list. Have you protested against amnesty for illegal aliens? You may be on a government watch list. Have you recently returned from Iraq or Afghanistan having served this nation proudly? You may be watched by Janet Napolitano's goon squads. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's come to that. The far-left radical kooks have taken over this government lock, stock, and barrel, and that is why millions of Americans are in the streets today. Oh, yes, it started as a protest against tax raises by Obama, but it's gone way beyond that. If you look at the posters, which you're never going to see in your local failed newspaper, you will see that a good portion of them go way beyond the don't tax me level. They go way beyond that, and they move into the realm of reality, and the reality being the emerging Malbama America. For example, there is a 78-year-old woman in one of these, who was arguing with a self-hating white reporter in clip six. Let's hear clip six.
Now, what do you mean by I turn the truth inside out?
I will tell you. You want me really tell you? Your children will be here, your grandchildren. I'm 76. I won't get to see the worst of this, but you will.
And what is the worst of it, ma'am?
Worst of it is that we are going to go to socialism and then communism.
Now, why do you say socialism?
Here we go. They told us what the national security now thinks of us.
You heard that. This clueless blonde ditz on CNN, some woman who obviously is too old to work in the world's oldest profession, who has now taken a job in the world's worst network, Susan Rosgen, goes there and says, well, what do you mean by socialism? I didn't hear about that in the cat house. We didn't discuss socialism in the cat house. And then she says, I haven't seen one African-American here, as though that's the be-all and end-all of everything in the world. If there's no African-Americans, it's an invalid protest. Well, I want to remind you that since the majority of taxpayers in America are white people, and since the majority of taxes by probably 98 percentile, that's why mostly white people have had it up to here. Of course you don't see illegal aliens there. They're busy sending the money back to Mexico. Why should they be at a Tea Party protest? Why would you expect to see illegal aliens at a Tea Party protest? They never had it so good. They work under the table, they undercut American jobs, and they send the money home to the home country. Of course they're not there. So what do you need? Need a re-education on reality here? I'll give it to you. Hartford, Connecticut. Don, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Ah, yes, Dr. Savage. I'm a college student in Connecticut, and I must say that with the illegal immigration, that's one thing they got, but with the re-education system that they're pushing through now, they're going to make young kids like myself zombies, and you're going to add those two things together, and there you go.
I agree with you. I hear over and over again that the monsters in the profession of education are brainwashing our children into believing there's such a thing as man-caused global warming, that we're killing the planet every time we turn on a light bulb. The children are not eating but very meager diets, which leave them weak and stupid in the mind. The children are being put on drugs for every emotion that they have, and consequently, they are like feathers in the wind that can be moved in any direction by a government, for good or for evil. Thanks for the call. That's all. What else is new? Like I didn't know this. Like I didn't know this was true. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number, michaelsavage.com. Do you disagree with Obama? The government may be watching you. What's amazing to me is that guys like Francis Ford Coppola, who's a lifetime left-winger, he's a movie director who you may not remember anymore. He did The Godfather. But Coppola did a movie, I think, called The Conversation many years ago with Gene Hackman, where it showed a government agent listening in on people's conversations, you know, illegally. In other words, wiretapping people. How come the left, now that they have all the power, are wiretapping people? How come the left is doing everything that they were afraid would be done to them under Nixon? How come now that they have the power, they're doing what Nixon never did, but they're doing it in spades? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Do you have any comprehension what I am saying to you? Houston, Texas. Thomas, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, good afternoon, Dr. Savage. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm just on my way down to the Houston Tea Party. I had to leave my pick up a babysitter and leave them with my kids. I'm here to meet my wife, and my wife just contacted me. I'm three blocks away from the Tea Party. That Homeland Security and the FBI are outside the gates and not letting anybody in.
Outside what gates?
Outside the gates to get inside the Tea Party.
What do you mean gates? Where's it being held?
Jones Plaza. I mean the entrances, not gates. Let me just put entrances. I don't want to put words that aren't there.
Well, I don't believe it. I'll have to say I'm going to pass on that. I have absolutely no belief that DHS and Homeland Security, rather than the FBI, would stop a peaceful protest. I don't believe this call is valid. I believe this is an attempt to put out disinformation. Until I see it with my own eyes, I'm gonna say that was a fake call, okay? If you're at a tea party, call the Savage Nation at 1-800-449-8255. You will be given priority.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Had quite a growth in these groups going all the way back to the year 2000. That's been largely driven by the group's exploitation of the issue of immigration. They talk, of course, about people with brown skin heading north and so on. But as the DHS report points out, and we did also, there are two new factors playing, and that those, of course, are the election of President Obama, a black man in the White House, And just now, the worsening economy, which I think is very likely to play a role in the future growth of these groups.
Did you know? Well, first of all, there's not but one. I've seen one African American, Chuck, in this entire group. Why do you think
we're
that
free.
Is?
We were not invited.
Did you?
I came on my own because I heard and I said, "Oh my God, I am being taxed like that."
So, Chuck, I think you can kind of get the tenor of this. Once again, I got to tell you, I have only seen one African-American. It's a totally white group. And most people here are saying that CNN is not...
We were in a cat house, so they gave her a microphone. Mr. Klein of CNN gave her a microphone. Let her go take a job in cat house as the bookkeeper. What? Oh, it's evil because it's all white people? A self-hating white reporter from CNN says the Tea Party protest that she was at was only white people. You hear this? That's because 98% of all taxes collected in America are paid by hardworking white people. And the first voice you heard was of Mark Potok of the Extremist Dangerous Southern Poverty Law Center. Mark Potok with the whiny girly voice, who doesn't like white people, doesn't like military veterans, doesn't like people who oppose homosexual marriage. I suspect he wrote this report for the Department of Homeland Security. Methinks I smell a rat here. Now, if you are at a tea party today and you'd like to report on the Savage Nation, the phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Or if you are a right-winger, by the definition of Janet Totalitariano, give us a call at 1-800-449-8255. Or if you were at a Tea Party protest today to protest the growing Malbama administration, again, call us. Let's begin in Virginia. Jonathan, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Mike, thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, I just wanted to let you know, I was at a Tea Party today, and so for that reason and because I'm also a hardcore right-winger and a black man, I'm sure I'm on some kind of terrorist watch list somewhere.
But wait a minute, but the would-be hooker on CNN said that only white people attended the Tea Party.
Oh, I know. That's what I keep hearing on CNN myself, but I was pretty sure I saw quite a few of us out there protesting, having our taxes being...
I see, but the CNN would-be hooker didn't see you, apparently.
No, she didn't come to Virginia. I don't think CNN had a camera crew out in Newport News, Virginia.
So they sought out a group that was particularly all white and then said all the protests were all white, as though that unto itself makes it illegitimate. Well, I appreciate that, Jonathan. At least we know that there was one black man at a Tea Party protest, one black man who says he's a right-winger. I'm sure there are tens of thousands, by the way. That's another big secret that you won't hear from this illegitimate media that we have in this country. Homeland Security on guard for right-wing extremists. Read the DHS report. But if you think that we're weak domestically and that the domestic intelligence agencies are turning their attention on American citizens instead of Islamic fascists, you are right. But it gets worse than that. Obama, it turns out today, under Defense Secretary Robert Gates, refused to use the most advanced radar in the world to monitor the North Korean missile. Many fools are saying, shouldn't Obama be given credit for having given the orders to shoot the pirates? And I've said, sure, but the real credit goes to the snipers. But Obama certainly gave the captain of the ship the right to fire when the captain was in danger of the seized tanker, and he gets credit for that. But that was not a real military test. Obama has failed two real military tests, the most noticeable being the firing of the North Korean missile over the weekend and Obama's fear to act. First of all, we had a ship at sea with a very powerful radar, which could have monitored it, but to me that would have been useless anyway. I would say that we should have blown up the launch pad or blown the missile up in the sky to teach that little degenerate a lesson. We are in grave danger right now. The fact of the matter is we're weaker domestically because this government is turning on the very people who have the backbone to save it. And we are certainly weaker internationally since this charlatan went to the European tour and failed at everything he did. 1-800-449-8255. There is a sign on the bottom of michaelsavage.com from Getty Images at one of the protests where the word Obama is used as an acronym, and it spells out one big awful mistake in America. One big awful mistake, America. So this is going way beyond the National Tax Day Tea Party, which is why you have to tune to talk radio to find out what is actually being said, who's actually there, and what the people are angry about. Here is another protester on the top left of michaelsavage.com you will not see in your local failed newspaper tomorrow. And it's of a young fat guy wearing a T-shirt that says Chairman Malbama, Chairman May Obama, M.A. Obama. Now, you may not know who Mao Tse-tung was, but you really ought to find out real fast, okay? There are many callers out there, people who went to tea parties. There are other callers on other topics. And again, you can call us. The most outrageous event of all is the fact that we have learned that the Department of Homeland Security under Big Sister has turned on the most loyal of Americans as being the greatest threat to the survival of this country. It's shocking to believe that a department created to protect us from Islamic terrorism has instead turned away from acts of Islamic jihad on American soil, now calling them man-caused disasters, instead focusing her snoops and spies and armed goon squads on loyal Americans, including returning military. That's why we warned you about the creation of DHS when it was created. We says, you know, you say, well, what's the difference between a conservative and a liberal? We didn't want the DHS created when it was created. We knew that it would be another government bureaucracy. We knew it would be a boondoggle for millions of contractors. We knew it would arm thousands of people in the country. And we know one thing. We know one thing. Another giant government spy agency would eventually be used against Americans themselves, because it's not being used against Islamic terrorists, is it? Is it? Is DHS being used to monitor Islamic extremist groups? You know that there are Islamovilles in America where there is military training occurring in a distant country settings. They're training in the use of assault weapons. I've had this report on the show before over the last few years, and we've heard nothing about that. Instead, we have the whiny voice of Mark Potok, the extremist hate monger from the Southern Poverty Law Center, focusing instead on ex-military. Listen to clip 30 from this weasel in the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I wouldn't say they targeted the group. They pointed out, and I think quite rightly, that at times like these, when you have people in fairly large numbers coming home from hot wars like Afghanistan and Iraq, you do have a lot of interest on the part of the radical right.
Mark, you know what? You suck. Mark, you know what? You sound like your mother. You sound like your mother. You sound like a yenta. You sound like a whiny old woman. You sound like a frightened old woman who should be wearing a brassiere. You're breathing heavy, Mark, aren't you? But you didn't fight in the Gulf War, did you, Mark? But you fear the men who fought in the military? Why is that, Mark? Why do you fear people who voted against homosexual marriage? Why do you fear people who don't believe in abortion? Why do you fear people who don't want an invasion from Mexico, Marky boy? You think they're going to be your friends when it comes down to it? Go buy yourself some lingerie, Mark Potok. I'll be right back.
Southerns, hear ye country, call ye up, lest worse than death befall ye. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Though all the beacon fires are lighted, let all hearts be now united. Two arms, two arms, two arms in Dixie. Advance the flag of Dixie, hoorah, hoorah. For Dixie's land we take our stand and live or die for
if
Dixie.
If you have a Confederate flag, watch out. The government spooks may have you in their sights. That's why I'm playing Dixie. They can all go to you-know-where. They can shove it if they don't like it. I'll play this every day. They can shove it up their banana. I'm sick of them. I'm sick of this.
Sending back your fierce defiance, stamp upon.
You don't like your own citizens, huh? Suddenly you're a friend of the Islamic radicals and you hate your own citizenry. Wow. Thank you, Jane Harmon.
For Dixie's land we take our stand and live or die for Dixie. Two arms, two arms.
I wish everybody in the radio would say, up the man. Up the man. This is when it matters. Not in the 1960s. Now it matters. Now you have an emerging fascist liberal government. Now it matters. These people are far more deadly than Nixon ever was. These people are far more vicious than Nixon ever was. Now it matters. Stand up to these hacks. Stand up. Stand up to them. They can all go to you know where. Stephanie, Fort Lauderdale, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, I just left the Fort Lauderdale Tea Party in Fort Lauderdale. I'm 21 years old, and I was holding up my sign, who's bailing me out in 20 years?
And how many people were at the rally in Fort Lauderdale?
There was about 5,000 people.
Well, you won't be seeing it tomorrow in the Miami Albatross newspaper. It used to be known as the Miami Herald, but since they are nothing but a a propaganda sheet for the Obama administration. The Miami Albatross certainly won't publish a picture of your 5,000-person rally. But if 15 illegal aliens from Haiti were to rally somewhere against racism in America, it would be a front-page picture, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they also won't show the signs of the people standing in the crowds. Like, the only handout I want is the government's hand out of my pocket.
Good for you. Good for you, Stephanie. I'm sending you a free copy of Healing Children Naturally for the day you become a mother. I know you'll give it maybe to a sister or someone who has the book. I reprinted it, by the way, for those of you who wanted it. It won't change my cash flow, but it may change your life. It may take you off the government medico complex so you don't have to dope your children and put them on drugs and feed them poisonous foods. Read Healing Children Naturally, one of the greatest books ever written. I wrote it. That's right, Dr. Michael Savage. That's right, PhD, University of California at Berkeley. That's right, the author of 27 published books. That's right, the most educated man in talk radio. That's right, the man who knows exactly what's going on. That's right, the man who knows that the left-wing extremist radical fringe groups are now running America. That's right, you got it right. You got it right. WOR, New York City. John, go ahead, you're on the air.
Don't underestimate us, Michael. I'm a firefighter, and I have a lot of friends that are police officers, and we do not condone what is going on. And believe me, we will not just stand by and let this government do what they think they're going to do. We do not want...
You see, but they don't do it overnight, John. Remember, every dictatorship, usually dictatorships arise in democracies by degree. It's true that dictatorships arise overnight in African countries through a violent rebellion. But in countries such as ours, in Western democracies, there have been dictatorships that have arisen, and they usually occur by degree. They don't occur overnight. You've got the example of fascist Italy under Mussolini. You've got the example of fascist Germany under Hitler. You've got these examples of Hugo Chavez in South America. He didn't come to power and overnight to turn the country around. He did it by degree, day after day, taking more power. And when Chavez seized newspapers, Sean Penn and Danny Glover ran down there to kiss Chavez's feet. How do you explain that, John?
We don't condone any of it. And believe me, we're not going to stand
by. But, John, I understand that there are millions of brave men out there who don't condone it. But the government is working by degree. They're putting out the nooses, the traps, and they're slowly turning them. They're not doing this overnight. They would be stopped if they did it overnight. Even the dimwit, phony, thieving Republicans would get up and do something. No, they're doing it by degree, step by step, day by day, using extremist perverts like Mark Potok of the Southern Poverty Law Center to write policy papers for them. Thank you for the call. Play Dixie for me. I need a breather. I want to hear Dixie.
Southerns here, you can't.
Even though I'm a northern guy, I want to hear Dixie. I've always loved this song.
Two arms in Dixie.
I don't know why. I always like it. It's got a nice beat to it. Nice rhythm. What's wrong with the Dixie, the rebel flag? I never understood it as a guy from New York. I thought it was a matter of Southern pride. It was the white liberals like Mark Potok who turned the flag into a racist symbol because that's all they have in their mind is perversion and racism. Yeah, I'm talking to myself already. I can see. All I'm going to do is get a headache from all of this. I think I need a day off tomorrow. I'm too. It's too much for me. Truthfully, I got to tell you, guys. Turn it off. I got to again tell you. 4 months ago, I had a right eye thing. This left eye is out of control right now. It's probably all of the stress, the government doing this to me, the government attacking me, the government naming you and every patriot as an enemy of the government, seeing these degenerate losers running everything. But frankly, I'm about half blind in my left eye from this. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. I would be in a hospital. I would be, but I'm not. It's probably the same vitreous detachment I had in the right eye. But it's like a black paintbrush is going up and down over my left eye as I'm on the air, and it's very disturbing. I can't look at the computer screen. I can't read my notes. It's very disturbing. I have to put on sunglasses. I'm going to start to look like Ray Charles, only I'm not a singer. So if I'm down with dark glasses on, me and Teddy, I'll even get him a pair of dark glasses, okay? I'm not here to alarm you. I'm here to tell you that this situation of Janet Napolitano and the other haters in the government targeting military veterans, talk show hosts, patriots who have stood up for the borders, Minutemen, is getting to me. And I cannot do this alone. I am working in a vacuum, all alone in front of a microphone. It's starting to get to me, okay? That's all I can say to you.
Savage.
Obama's paid income tax, the return was released today. They earned $2.7 million and paid $855,000 in federal taxes, which is about 32%, 33%, which is interesting. And so don't think that Maoists aren't rich. I've tried to explain to you a thousand times that in communist countries, there's an elite ruling class that is wealthy, and the middle class virtually dissolved. And so we heard that Bush represented big corporate interests, but what you don't know is that a year ago, then-President G.W. Bush reported taxable income of $719,000 for the 07 year. $719,000. Compare that with an income of $2.7 million for this poor community social worker, Barack Hussein Obama and Michelle L. Obama. How do you explain that? I thought he was a man of the people. And by the way, they're not big givers to charity. In 2002, the year before Obama launched his U.S. Senate campaign, the couple reported income of $259,000 and only gave $1,000 in deductions for gifts, which is below the national average of $1,872. So it's interesting when you look at tax returns. They're kind of like a sort of X-ray of things that you don't see otherwise. To review again, the Obamas had a very good year, although most Americans had a bad financial year. The Obamas recorded a net profit from book sales of $2.5 million and household income of $2.7 million, paying $855,000 in federal taxes. And so, therefore, as you can see, communism, socialism, Maoism, whatever you want to call it, is very, very good for business. Very good for business indeed. Houston, Texas. Josh, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'd just like to ask you, I just came from the Houston rally, and have you ever seen a gathering of conservatives like this before?
No, and I have to take my hat off to Fox News. They are the greatest generator of interest in the Tea Party, and they did a great job. They did a super job, and I've never seen conservatives so ignited across America as today, and I think this is the beginning of something bigger.
Well, I would just like to say that the previous caller who said that DHS wasn't letting people in is true. I just came from the same rally, and the same thing is happening. I mean, they had a line outside the rally. It's an amphitheater-type rally that they have outdoor concerts in, and there's three or four entrances around it, and they weren't letting people in because they claimed it was at capacity, yet people were walking out.
And what outfits were these goon squads wearing? What were the insignias on the goons?
They didn't have insignias. They were just dudes in suits that were not letting people in.
You're kidding me. Plain clothes goon squads were not letting people in?
Correct.
I find this hard to believe. Somebody ought to get a picture of these goons in sunglasses and publish them. Thank you. San Francisco, Bill, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm on the streets here at El Camino Real and Hillsdale at the Tea Party for the San Mateo County. It's about a turnout of probably about 350 people right now.
Well, that's bigger than five. That's larger than five illegal aliens with protest signs beating up one white male, isn't it?
That's right. There's Gaston flags flying. Don't tread on me. This whole event's been put on by a woman named Elsie. That apparently she's a muckamuck.
What's interesting is your local newspaper probably isn't there, is it? They're busy covering who voted against Proposition 8.
Not seeing much in the way of media, no. So I don't imagine.
No. That's why the newspaper's losing $1 million a week. Because who would read that garbage? How many illegal aliens buy the San Francisco newspaper?
I don't know, but Elsie.
Now, are you seeing any sign of on a plainclothes goons preventing people from entering the rally?
Looking for the goon squads. I've seen a few cameras. Nothing that looks really super suspicious, but I'm definitely keeping my eyes open.
You guys ought to take pictures of the goons with cameras taking your picture. Take their picture and send them to radio talk shows. We'll publish them.
And then Elsie, okay. Actually,
yeah, put it back in their face. That's all. Put it back. Kansas City, Ollie, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, thank you. Yes, the liberals were all saying that we were only going to have 100 people show up, and actually 5,000 showed up.
Where are you? In which city?
Kansas City, Missouri, sir.
You had 5,000 in Kansas City at a tea party?
5,000 at the Liberty Memorial in Kansas City, Missouri.
Amazing. And did the Kansas City newspaper cover it?
Yes. Kansas City Star is just a few blocks away. Fox News was also there. And I'm also proud to say that I'm a Cuban American. I've been in this country for 43 years. I got here when I was 4 years old, so I understand exactly.
So what brought you out today? Why did you go to this rally?
I went to this because I'm tired of taxes. I'm a federal employee. But I believe that America is supposed to be taxed with representation, and basically we're not getting that anymore.
All right, so it's the tax issue for you. That alone is the motivator for 98% of the people, the tax issue. And, you know, it's an interesting point that many people are making, which is right now Obama says he's going to raise taxes on the wealthiest Americans, who are a very small minority, by the way. And you say, well, who cares about them? Well, when you keep taxing and move down the scale, don't you think eventually they're going to get to you? Remember, 50% of working people pay no taxes in this country. So in other words, start at the top and tax them and keep building the government, make larger bureaucracies, expand Homeland Security, buy Janet Napolitano a new G550, buy Jane Harmon a new G500 that she can fly around in, send them all over the globe. And so then they need more money. So after they raise taxes on the wealthiest, then they go down. Then they go down to people making $100,000 a year. They're now the new wealthy. Then when you tax them to death and push them down the scale, you get the picture. That's why my genius statement, trickle-up poverty, was so important. And I tried to give it to John McShane, but he didn't run with it. You understand that. Indianapolis, Dallas, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Yeah, I just wanted to point out that, you know, Obama's whole campaign was about peace and hope and how he's going to bring people together. And since then, we've found out what a big liar he is all the way around, because all he's doing is trying to pit classes against each other and pit races against each other. And everything he does is causing division and hate.
I have no argument with anything you just said. I think he's the most divisive president in American history and also the biggest failure, by the way. He has achieved nothing thus far other than raising taxes and spending us into eternity. Thank you for the call. San Francisco, Rob, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Just wanted to comment on what you had to say about the slow change that is being put forth in degrees on us. You know, as a kid in school, I learned, it's kind of a weird example, a small example to maybe the whole, you know, if you put a frog into a boiling pot of water, it'll hop out.
But right. But if you turn the heat up slowly but surely, slowly boiling frogs, it's an old metaphor but still true. But this administration is moving very, very slowly but nevertheless very deliberately towards a socialist America. And the question is where they will stop. I have no idea where they'll stop. I don't know whether they'll stop on the model of France, Germany, or will it be Hugo Chavez's nation? Will it be Cuba? What will it be? Where will it end?
Well, I'd love a chance to stop it, Michael, but I tell you what, I don't know how.
No, you're doing it today. You're doing it today. Make no mistake about it. Even though the vermin in the media are playing down the size of this conservative turnout today, the fact of the matter is they're quaking in their boots. They never thought that white people would come out and protest like this. And I think that this has empowered millions of others to come out to the next one. And I know what's going to happen. When Maubama tries to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens, largely Mexicans, knowing that if that happens, it's the end of America, completely over. It's the end of America. They will vote radical left-wing politics forever. When Obama tries to shove that down our throats, I think we're going to have 10 to 20 million people out in the streets of America. Then you're going to see a real movement. Then you're going to see a real movement. This was nothing. This Tea Party was a Tea Party compared to what's going to happen if this charlatan tries to jam this down the throats of America. Remember, in California, which is largely a Democratic state, even in California, 75% of the people oppose illegal immigration. That goes across lines. That goes across Democrat, Republican lines. 75 to 78% of people in California oppose illegal immigration. So when you add up those numbers, you realize that on a tax protest day such as this, which is drawn together, by the way, even some liberals, young people were there, surprisingly enough, who don't want to be paying taxes for what this man is spending. You're going to see millions of others who have been empowered by today, who can be organized, motivated, and rallied when Mao Obama tries to do the ultimate end game around the Constitution. Okay? So we're getting reports from all over the country on the Savage Nation of 5,000, 1,000 people, huge rallies going on. Here's one out of New York right now, John on WOR. Where are you right now, John?
Mike, I'm on Springfield and Hillside in Belrose in Queens Village, your old neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was out in Massapequa, Long Island, on Sunrise Highway. I'd say probably 700 to 1,000 people out there. And the reality of it is, Mike, the people that were out there are not rich people. There wasn't bankers and brokers. This was people in blue jeans, work boots, sweatshirts, young and old.
Most of the signs about taxes, or was it more generalized discontent with Mao Obama's socialist administration?
The placards and stuff were pretty much about the size of government taxes. But talking amongst the people that were there, they're fed up with the direction of the country. They're fed up with this land vesting of returning veterans. People have had enough. It's not just the taxes. It's much more than that. It's the country.
Yes, I believe that this DHS report is going to be the catalyst to bring out millions of people next time. And I believe that when they try to grant amnesty to illegal aliens, we're going to see tens of thousands of veterans, abortion activists, Proposition 8 voters, you name it. They're going to be out there. They're going to be motivated by this. They're going to be empowered by this. And I think the government is not going to be able to stop this tidal wave of discontent with this illegitimate, phony administration. I'll be right back. Savage. So I guess the President of the United States is a very good Marxist indeed. He made $2.7 million last year. And I guess he's the rich that he wants to tax. And although the U.S. median household income is $50,000, the Obamas, as I said to you, liberals intend to do good, and they do very well indeed. That's an old statement from the years I spent in Hawaii when they spoke about missionaries who went out to the islands well over 100 and some odd years ago, which is that the missionaries set out to do good, and they did very well indeed, winding up owning most of the islands from the poor, stupid natives who they pulled a hokum on and took their land. So here's another example of a liberal, Obama, who is out to do good, who is doing very, very well indeed, making over $2.7 million last year on his hokum show of do-gooderism, you know. Modesto, California. Frank, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. I just came from that rally over in Modesto earlier today, and there was approximately about 1,500 people. We had blacks, we had Hispanics, in fact, I'm part Hispanic myself, and we had liberals there as well. It was really amazing that my friend who was with me talked to this liberal girl, and she was the typical piercings and all that sort of thing, and she said Obama was just too far left. He was just too nuts.
I want to reiterate what's going on here. Obama ran as a centrist Democrat. Nobody except the far left expected him to initiate such sweeping radical left-wing programs so quickly. Even the Democrats who voted for this charlatan are waking up to the fact that they made a mistake. And I keep saying to you, there were millions of conservatives who foolishly voted for Obama as a protest vote against G.W. Bush and the Republican cronies. They said anything but another Bush-like administration. So they did a protest vote. Little did they know that this man was not a centrist. Little did they know that his model was not FDR. His model is far to the left of FDR. We don't know how far left this man really is. But When we wake up and find out that his appointment to Homeland Security is a woman named Janet Napolitano, who has zero qualifications to do this job, who, as a governor of New Mexico, did everything she could in order to make certain that as many illegal aliens cross the border as possible. When you realize that this woman is targeting veterans, returning veterans, and I don't have to go through the list again, you realize how radical this administration is. Of course people are waking up to who he is. Of course there's a generalized malcontent in this country with this radical imposter. Of course they recognize that Napolitano from Arizona is unqualified to head DHS and she should be fired immediately, and that a returning war veteran should be given that job, not somebody who has shown her stripes by flooding America with illegal aliens through Arizona. And that is through the looking glass. Obama is a president who is conducting America through the looking glass. And so the American people, many of whom voted for him, cannot believe that this man is actually in the White House. And they see his tendency towards complete and total control of the country. Let me give you another example in case you're deluded. They lent money to banks. Some banks wanted to give the money back. The government won't take the money back. Why? The government wants to control the banks. It's what Mussolini did in his control of Italy. He took control of the banks. Don't you understand what we're trying to tell you? That when a government controls the banks, when the government controls the wheels of industry, as they're doing with General Motors, when the government takes control of the newspapers through soft bailouts, you will have a socialist dictatorship. That is what I'm articulating for you. So a lot of what you see in the streets looks like it's about taxes and looks like it's about tea bags, but it isn't. The people are awakening to this left-wing administration, and this is only the beginning. As I said to you, the DHS report indicates where they are going and who they're targeting. And I believe that the next rally will be five times bigger than this rally. I believe that whoever organized this, and Fox News has to be the biggest winner here, because they were the ones behind it the most, should be given great credit for this. And they will then be empowered to empower millions and millions more of you to come out once this radical, illegitimate government tries to grant amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens. That will be the spark that ignites the popular uprising in this country that we have all waited for all of our lives. It will happen. They have gone overboard by targeting returning military. They have provoked the American Legion. They have provoked veterans groups across this country. They have no idea what they have done with this report. And of course they did it in an attempt to intimidate you and keep you away from these rallies. But in fact, I think the exact opposite has occurred. I think that the crowds, which are significant by all reports, are much bigger as a result of what Janet Napolitano did in her targeting of the very patriotic American groups that she should be protecting instead of persecuting. Now, you might be a radicalized right-winger yourself. You realize that even though you're listening to the show and you think that you're a moderate, you may be a radicalized right-winger to this illegitimate, radical left-wing government if, do you oppose abortion for young girls? Do you favor strict immigration enforcement? Do you believe in the Second Amendment? Do you protest big government? Are you against an intrusive government? Do you believe in freedom of religion? Well, you may be a radicalized right-winger according to this illegitimate government. Now, many of you are offended when I use the words illegitimate government. Why do I use that? You'll say that he was duly elected. He was. But he was not elected to institute a radical left-wing takeover of all avenues of government. He tricked you. This man tricked most moderates in this country by leading you to believe that he was not going to try to impose left-wing views on this country. But that's exactly what he is doing. You thought he would be a moderate Democrat. He is the furthest thing from a moderate Democrat you can imagine. That is why I've been playing Mark Potok of the extremist, fringe, radical Southern Poverty Law Center all day, who probably was involved in authoring this report. Listen now to this whiny, swiney man, this lawyer from this illegitimate Southern Poverty Law Center that has specialized in suing patriots for years on the Savage Nation.
I wouldn't say they targeted the group. They pointed out, and I think quite rightly, that at times like these, when you have people in fairly large numbers coming home from hot wars like Afghanistan and Iraq.
You piece of garbage, you attacking the military. You piece of garbage, you.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what I've been talking about today. Big Sis Napolitano digs in her iron boots, or shall I say her iron heels. You heard me tell you yesterday about the DHS report that targeted military veterans and other loyal patriotic Americans as, quote, right-wing extremists. Today, Janet Napolitano, Big Sis, head of Homeland Insecurity, dug in her heels and actually stood by this outrageous, un-American, unconstitutional report. Are we about to see a crackdown on conservative dissent in the United States of America? Well, we saw Waco happen on the Janet Reno. What will we see happen on the Janet Napolitano? The tax protests. All across America, the people are rising up and saying enough is enough. They will not pay higher taxes for a communization of the economy. Yet it seems that the media is out in force, harassing the people who are exercising their First Amendment right to peaceable assembly. The media, meaning CNN, is claiming that only white people are attending these demonstrations. Well, I have a question for you. What percentage of taxes do white people pay? The government refuses to say. They tell you how much money whites make as opposed to blacks and browns, but they won't tell you how much taxes are paid by whites relative to blacks and browns. What does the government have to hide about those who carry the real tax burden in this nation? What about the timing of the release of this DHS report? Was it deliberately designed to reduce the turnout of these so-called Tea Parties? Obama is losing his support among the middle. Even though he ran on a more centralized middle-of-the-road approach for the people, he is turning out to be anything but middle-of-the-road. He is a far-left radical. Joining us today is Jim Antle from the American Conservative to talk about how Obama's bailouts may be costing him his base.
Thank you, Michael. I mean, when you take a look at some of the reaction that there was to the bonuses paid to AIG executives, you saw that there are a lot of people on the left, some of your hardcore members of the liberal base, whether they're bloggers and from the Netroots or whether the types of people who tend to follow those kinds of bloggers, they were outraged. And their main problem with it was that they thought that Barack Obama has too much sensitivity toward corporate America and not enough to working-class, tax-paying people. Now, that sounds pretty ridiculous, I think, to your average conservative who looks at the growth of government under Obama, the explosive increase in government spending, and a lot of the pro-government, anti-business rhetoric that has been emanating from Washington since there's been unified Democratic control. But, you know, there are a lot of people on the left who want to go a lot further than even Obama and the congressional Democrats are willing to go. And it's becoming a real political problem. You know, there's been a lot of people who have sort of been starstruck by Obama, and that's kind of kept the criticism muted. And even right now, you're much more likely to hear liberal bloggers criticize specific members of Obama's team, like Treasury Secretary Tim Geithner or, Rahm Emanuel, the White House Chief of Staff, or the economic advisor Larry Summers, people who are regarded as kind of the moderates within the administration, you know, relatively speaking. And it basically because a lot of the liberal base still remains so in love with Obama. But there comes a point where you have to begin to ask yourself when is this criticism of a policy of corporate bailouts, this criticism that exists on the left, when is that going to start to bleed over into direct criticism of the president himself? And I think that's the risk Obama runs if he continues to have a lot of overlap with the Bush administration's approach as to how to rescue Wall Street. A lot of people on the left, the hard left, don't really think Wall Street should have been rescued at all.
We hear from many who are regretting that they voted for Obama.
I think that's a more common phenomenon among the swing voter. I mean, you've got a lot of independents who voted for Obama. They bought into the idea that he sounded responsible, he sounded reasonable. He said a lot of the right things about moving beyond partisanship and sort of making Washington work and you know, things about hope and change. And because a lot of these independent voters were frankly disgusted with President Bush and the overspending by the Republican Congress and the mismanagement of the war effort and all sorts of things like that. But then they go in, and when Obama takes office, you see something very different. You see massive spending. You see huge deficits that make the Bush deficits look, you know, fairly minor by comparison. You see, you know, Democratic spending that's even worse than the overspending by the Republican Congress, if you can imagine it. And a lot of these independent voters, when they take a look and see $1 trillion spent here and $1 trillion spent there, don't see this president as being quite the responsible centrist guy that they thought they were voting for. They see him as somebody perhaps more irresponsible along the lines of the conservative critique of Obama that was advanced during the campaign.
Are Obama's actions increasing the centrist movement in Congress?
It may very well do that. It also opens up some opportunities for the Republicans if they want to take it. Of course, Republicans generally, when they see opportunities, tend to prefer to miss them. But, you know, if the Republicans can emphasize the damage that having this much debt can do to this country, I mean, essentially a lot of what got us into this mess in the first place was offering incentives for people to buy things that they can't afford and spending and consuming on a massive scale. And essentially what Obama has offered as an economic solution is, you know, more of the hair of the dog that bit you. It's essentially, you know, if you have a hangover and now it's time to down another case of beer before you, you go to work. It's massive spending to try to stimulate consumption rather than allowing some of the bad investments that have taken place in the economy to liquidate themselves, enduring the pain right now. But ultimately increasing our savings base and increasing our thrift as a foundation for prosperity in the future.
Well, do you think this is going to alter how Obama acts from here on out? I don't.
I'm not sure that it will, but I think it does change things for conservatives and for other people who don't agree with the Obama administration's policies. And I think that what you're seeing here is a much more forward-thinking tax revolt than we've seen in the past. Normally speaking, when there is some kind of so-called tax revolt, it's in direct reaction to looming or imminent tax increases that you can actually point to and say, this is where my taxes have gone up. Now, Obama has already raised the cigarette tax, and his budget anticipates returning to Clinton-era tax rates, which would be a tax increase. But right now, the larger tax increase, the significant tax increase that will be broad-based and will hit large numbers of Americans, is implied. He hasn't really proposed it yet. But it's clearly, when you look mathematically at how his spending proposals work, obviously, there's going to have to be some kind of tax increase in the future. Otherwise, we'll have an unsustainable level of debt. So this tax revolt movement, when you look at all the Tea Parties and other protests that are going on all over the country, this movement has anticipated tax increases to come and is already mobilizing against them rather than simply opposing some tax hike that is imminent and already working its way through the halls of Congress on its way to Obama's desk. And I think that's a very important distinction, and I think it's a sign of some progress in how conservatives are going to organize now that, quote-unquote, one of us is no longer in power. There is some potential, if the left wants to take it, for there to be some strange bedfellows, political coalitions that don't follow along the normal left-right spectrum. I mean, you have people who are opposed to the Wall Street bailouts on the right because they're opposed to the government massively taxing and spending and also picking winners and losers within the marketplace. And you have a lot of people on the left who oppose the bailouts because they don't want to see a lot of public funds used to benefit Wall Street as opposed to being spent on some of their other concerns like health care or environmental spending and creating green jobs and other things like that. So even though there are serious philosophical differences over how government should spend money, there is a sort of unity in what in opposition to this expenditure. So it will be interesting to see as we anticipate new TARP-like programs, new bailouts, whether an effective left-right grassroots coalition can be built against these kinds of policies, because you know the left and the Netroots have proven very effective in raising money and organizing within the Democratic Party, and now you're seeing on the right under Obama with with a lot of grassroots mobilization that had been pretty much dormant under the Bush years.
Thanks, James. I think a lot of those starstruck voters are starting to see the truth coming out, but it may be too late. This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Here's another amazing piece from this Department of Homeland Insecurity report. Quote, threats from anti-government groups during 2009 have been largely rhetorical and have not indicated plans to carry out violent acts. Nevertheless, the consequences of a prolonged economic downturn, including real estate foreclosures, unemployment, and an inability to obtain credit, could create a fertile recruiting environment for right-wing extremists. If you think the left is paranoid, you're right. You understand left-wingers are paranoid, frightened sissies who are mentally ill. Well, guess what? They're running the country. And if you thought that was bad, listen to this. Quote, the return of military veterans facing significant challenges reintegrating into their communities could lead to the potential emergence of terrorist groups or lone wolf extremists capable of carrying out violent attacks. So now you think that Janet Napolitano is afraid of the military? You're right. She is running the Department of Homeland Security. And Big Sis has dug her heels in, standing by this report, which targets military veterans and other loyal patriotic Americans. America, beware. The sissies and the paranoids are running the country. I want to explain to you what we are facing today. Far left, marginal, radical communists in America have now been brought up to the mainstream under Mao Obama. Chairman Mao Obama has taken these marginal left-wing psychopaths and move them up inside the Mao Obama administration. And if you disagree with Mao Obama, the government may be looking out for you. Do you hold conservative views on immigration? That means you believe in protecting our borders. Do you believe that abortion is a crime against the unborn? Do you fear the UN? Do you see the New World Order emerging? Are you opposed to the bailouts of Washington? Are you aware that if you agree with any of those positions, you may be on a government watch list? That's right. The so-called Department of Homeland Security, under so-called Chief of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano, who has said there is no longer a threat from radical extremism. I don't think you understand what's going on here. Homeland Security was a department that was controversial when it was created after 9/11. Many of us warned you that it would be used against the American citizens themselves, that taxpayers would be footing the bill for another blown-up, useless department because we have the FBI already. Well, Janet Napolitano has said that Islamic Jihad on American soil is no longer a problem. She now refers that as man-caused disasters. Instead, this new DHS under the Mao Obama administration is sounding an alarm over a resurgence in right-wing extremism when there has been none whatsoever. And the nine-page warning memo that is being sent out to your local police by these fascists can be seen in its entirety on michaelsavage.com. And it's no accident that Janet Napolitano, anti-American that she is in my opinion, disseminated this report a week before the April 15 Tax Day Tea Party protests. You may not know it, but this will backfire on the Obama administration in ways they can't imagine. Bill in New York, terrific caller. Bill, welcome to the program. Thanks for listening on WOR. Go ahead, please.
You know, I had just a comment about the psychological aspects of Barack Obama.
Go ahead. I'd love to hear it.
You know, I'm a biracial person who was brought up without the benefit of a mother and father. My father walked out when I was 10 years old. My mother struggled. You know, I believe that, you know, I felt this when he was running, that psychologically there's so many issues that a person, a young man in that situation, has to deal with. I never believed when I looked him in the eye on the TV and he stood up there that he really has the self-confidence to really be president. I just
So then you tend to agree with me that he has a very deep insecurity.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't blame him.
But listen to how I'm not blaming him. I mean, we're way past worrying about why it happened. We're interested in how it happened and what its effect has had on him and on us. Listen, I concluded in Obama on the Couch as follows. I said, it seems clear that this excessive separation in the absence of a father has led to a pattern of control that Obama has not only imposed on himself, but now wants to impose on the United States of America. That was my main point.
Well, you know, I agree with that. The bottom line is how a person with those issues, you know, can we afford to have that type of quality in a leader? You know,
yeah, well, we have it whether we'd like to or not, and I'm doing a psychological portrait of the president years before historians will do it, but they will learn from this program as they listen to it. I realize I'm not Doris Kearns Goodwin, the plagiarist, who is featured as a great presidential historian on every other television show, that sort of emaciated, skinny, skanky, college professory woman who all the liberals hold up as a college, as a presidential historian because she loves liberal presidents and hates conservative ones. The plagiarist, by the way. But I do a better job than she does. Oregon, Charlie, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just want to congratulate you for your astute interaction with that woman. You held her feet to the fire, and you made it very logical.
But I asked her. She said that what I did was offensive and low class in analyzing Obama's psychology. I said to her, where was I factually wrong? And she just went on and on and on, calling me names without answering me, which means that she agrees with me.
Well, exactly. But at the same time, this is the cultural malaise that our country's gotten into.
Where yes, she sounds like a college teacher who's threatened students with diminishing grades if they don't listen to her Maoism, which is, this is the way it is, don't argue with me. Charlie, thanks for the call. The time is time for a wonderful, excellent break where you'll hear all of my supporters on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Today on MichaelSavage.com and on the radio show, we've been talking about the Tea Parties and, of course, this communistic Homeland Security report about so-called right-wing extremists targeting returning military veterans, those who oppose abortion, those who voted against homosexual marriage, those who favor strict immigration enforcement, and those who protect the Second Amendment. It's astonishing. But big government has now become big communist government. What's shocking is that this loser, Janet Napolitano, who's been made the head of DHS, has stopped focusing on acts of Islamic jihad on American soil, calling them man-made disasters, instead focusing all of the powers of the government on patriotic, loyal Americans, including returning military. What's even more shocking is that the Tea Parties, which are homegrown and grassroots, are being ridiculed and scorned by CNN and other loser networks. Do you know that liberals on these networks are trying to paint all protesters as neo-Nazis, as militia members, and even terrorists? I've told you about Obama lifting a travel ban for families to Cuba. Many former Cubans disagree with this move. And joining us today is Humberto Fontova to talk about why he feels opening up to Cuba is a bad move.
Thanks a lot, Michael. The mainstream media has been swooning over Fidel Castro for half a century now, and it's just great to have a few outlets like this one to get the truth out there, because heaven knows we don't have many such outlets. But this latest move by President Obama is really just the first step. Most Cuban watchers see it as a first step towards dismantling the so-called Cuban embargo. Now, what this last move did is it allowed unrestricted travel to Cuba and the sending of remittances from Cuban Americans to their kin in Cuba.
Many people are going to say, what's wrong with families going to visit and sending them money to help out?
Well, here's the thing. In 2004, this got so out of hand, the Castro regime was receiving over $1 billion a year from so-called Cuban refugees in the United States, sending them to their family in Cuba and traveling back and forth and spending money. And finally, President Bush, at the urging of Cuban American Republican legislators, says, you know, we've got to put an end to this preposterous state of affairs. If we're allowing Cuban refugees into the country, and these people claim to be refugees, how is it that they are helping to finance the very regime that kept them in bondage for so long? You know, this is really taking advantage of the United States. So President Bush, in 2004, curtailed the number of visits that Cuban Americans can make to their family in Cuba, and the amount of money that they could send there to $300 per quarter, which, by the way, still came to five times a typical Cuban's salary.
But what about the argument it doesn't make sense that we're allowed to travel to Iran and China, but Cuba is off limits?
It makes a lot of sense, folks. Cuba is a state sponsor of terrorism, as is Iran and North Korea. But the point of the State Department's laws is and should be to keep funds out of the hands of these sponsors of terrorism. Cuba's primary industry, primary source of funds, is tourism and travel. So that is why the Bush administration and the Reagan administration curtailed travel to Cuba. Iran's main source of income is the exportation of petroleum. That is why the U.S. State Department prohibits the importation of Iranian oil and prohibits even subsidiaries of U.S. oil field service companies from doing any business in Iran, because that is its main source of income. So you don't have a one-size-fits-all foreign policy to keep money out of the hands of state sponsors of terrorism. You try to tailor it to how is it that this terrorist regime received most of its funds. And that is exactly why President Bush had enacted these restrictions against Cuba, to keep money out of the hands of a state sponsor of terrorism. Well, President Obama has done away with that now.
Well, how does this affect the embargo that Cuba is under?
So-called embargo of Cuba really isn't much of an embargo. I said that this would be the first step toward dismantling the entire thing, but there really isn't much to dismantle. For the last 7 years, the United States has been Cuba's main food supplier and fourth biggest commercial trading partner overall. And this is going to blow a lot of people away, but you can check the figures, as I have, from the U.S. Department of Commerce. They are right there. The only thing the commercial so-called embargo prevents was sales on credit to Cuba. All of the agricultural goods that Cuba is buying from the United States, that amounts to over $1 billion worth over the last 2 years, Castro had to pay up front. Because Cuba has defaulted on its sales on credit, just about everyone who has extended Cuba credit, for instance, France's Export-Import Bank just cut them off, Mexico's Bancomex just cut them off, even South Africa's version of the Export-Import Bank cut them off. The U.S., because of the wise policies, primarily President Bush and Reagan, never extended credit to Cuba. That is why the U.S. taxpayer remains one of the very, very few in the industrialized world not screwed and tattooed by the Castro regime, which means the so-called embargo, such as it is, has been a spectacular success in that respect.
But wasn't the embargo supposed to bring down the Castro regime?
If you read the speech given by Secretary of State Dean Rusk in 1962 to the Organization of American States, I have studied it in detail, there is not a single word in that speech that is urging, you know, the rest of Latin America to join the U.S. in its embargo. There is not a single word or even implication in that address that it is meant to topple the Castro regime. Nothing. That was never envisioned. But it was put in place not to subsidize a regime that was back then, as it is now, sponsoring international terrorism. Just in 2001, Fidel Castro was visiting Iran, and he stood arm in arm with the Ayatollahs in there and says, together, the Iran and Cuba can bring America to her knees. And right now, the most powerful, the most effective, I guess we should say, terrorist group in the Western Hemisphere, Colombia's FARC, F-A-R-C, you know, they're the Western Hemisphere's version of Hamas and Hezbollah combined. In 2002, the head of that group quoted as saying, thanks to Fidel Castro, we are now a powerful armed group rather than a hit-and-run guerrilla band. And for some reason, this sponsor of terrorism is the nation that our president is now throwing a lifeline to. You know, this should be an issue just for Cuban Americans. A lot of people should be concerned by this. The Obama decree says that, well, you know, kind of to sweeten it for public consumption, or maybe for Cuban-American consumption, they said, we are still not going to allow, you know, monetary transfers from the U.S. to Communist Party members or to regime officials, same thing. Well, it makes no difference. They're going to get these remittances anyway. So all this is doing is giving the lifeline to the Cuban regime that President Reagan and President Bush tried to at least limit. And like I say, most Cuba watchers just see this as the first step, as the line of least resistance, because, you know how we are in the United States, family, and especially Cubans. Well, we're going to allow family travel and family room in Cuba. You know, that has a nice tone to it. But in fact, it's just the first step toward dismantling what little is left of the embargo, and I suspect very shortly all Americans, just not kin to Cubans, will be allowed to travel to Cuba.
Thanks, Umberto. We need to get the truth out.
Again, thanks a lot for letting this, because we have precious few outlets to tell the truth about what's going on in Cuba.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We've been talking about the Homeland Security Intelligence Assessment Report from Department of Homeland and Security and who it targeted. Joining us today to give their reaction to this nightmare and the actions they're planning is Richard Thompson, the CEO of the Thomas More Law Center.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on again today. It's always great to speak to you.
Give us some background on what your reactions to this assessment were.
We were shocked when we saw this so-called intelligence assessment on right-wing extremism that the Department of Homeland Security was warning law enforcement agencies about. First of all, it's clear that there is no basis for the conclusions that they reach. In fact, they start off with by saying they have no specific information that domestic right-wing terrorists are currently planning acts of violence. Then they go on to alert the law enforcement organizations across the country to be on the lookout for right-wing violence. This is nothing more than an attempt by the Obama administration to chill free speech and the rights of those Americans who oppose the policies of that administration. They specifically talk about the danger of people who may oppose gun control or who are pro-life or who are against the lax illegal immigration policies. The very kinds of issues that are really up in debate in Congress and in the public forum, they don't want people to be talking about that. And what they're doing is telling people, if you are against the policies of the Obama administration, you're going to be targeted by law enforcement as a potential terrorist, a right-wing terrorist. And of course, this is going to chill a lot of people from talking about those issues or even joining organizations who have as their mission discussion of those issues. So it is very dangerous to our democracy, our Republican form of government, and I'm very concerned about it. It seems like the Obama administration and the Department of Homeland Security have now begun a war against American citizens, and they're using the threat of law enforcement activity to chill anyone that talks about issues contrary to the way the Obama administration wants them to talk about. Americans are really concerned about gun control, and they say if you're against gun control, then you may be a part of this right-wing extremist organizations. Well, the vast majority of people support the right to own guns. The Supreme Court of the United States has said that it is protected under the Second Amendment to the Constitution, yet they are using this as an indicia of someone that is going to be involved with violent overthrow.
This report targeted returning vets directly?
You know what? Our veterans have already paid a price to defend this country, and they take an oath to support the Constitution of the United States against enemies both domestic and foreign. And for the Obama administration and for the Department of Homeland Security to select this group of individuals as someone who may not be loyal to the Constitution of the United States is outrageous. And they select this group because they said, well, you know, these veterans have skills derived from their military training and combat, and they know how to fire weapons. Well, so does every police officer. So why don't we start including police officers who are also trained in that way as a potential for joining these right-wing extremist organizations? You know, we can go through the entire document. First of all, it is written probably by a high school student. That's the way it reads to me. They have no basis, no credible evidence to make all of the conclusions that they make, and yet it's sent out under the heading of the Department of Homeland Security as an intelligence estimate without any indication of what sources they are using, whether those sources are credible or not. It's one hypothesis upon another that comes to a conclusion that is not supported. So this is very concerning to the Thomas More Law Center.
Well, what actions is the Thomas More Law Center going to take?
We have today filed a Freedom of Information Act request with the Department of Homeland Security, demanding that they give us the information upon which they base all of these concerns regarding right-wing extremism. We want to know what is the basis of all these allegations. It just smacks of political manipulation and attempting to chill those people who object to the policies of the Obama administration.
Do you think this is an attempt to silence dissent towards the Obama regime?
Absolutely. One of the main points they make is, you know, some of these so-called right-wing extremists might be concerned about America losing its sovereignty. Well, a lot of people are thinking about that as we give up more and more rights to the United Nations and we become more and more of a one-world kind of political environment. People are concerned about that, and that's right to be concerned about that. And just because you're concerned about it doesn't mean that you're going to now overthrow the government by violent means, but you should be able to discuss those in the public forum and not be afraid that because you are discussing those issues, that all at once you're going to be branded by law enforcement as a potential terrorist. You know, there are real terrorists out there. We know that there are 35 compounds in the United States being run by radical Muslims who are training with firearms, who are learning how to kidnap and kill American citizens. That's what they should be focused on, not individuals who happen to oppose Obama's policies on gun control, immigration, whether we have a right to be a sovereign nation. I mean, it seems like they are waging war against America, against Americans, and against the Constitution of the United States. I mean, when you start connecting all these dots, when he went to Europe and visited the European nations and disparaged America and disparaged our history, when he went to Saudi Arabia and he bowed to the Saudi king, one of the most despicable tyrants in the world today, many people start becoming afraid that we are losing our identity as a sovereign nation. And that is a legitimate concern we should have. One of the most outrageous comments made in this report, in this so-called intelligence report, and I think you have to really question the intelligence of the person that wrote it, is that, and I'm quoting, right-wing extremism may include groups and individuals that are dedicated to a single issue, such as opposition to abortion or immigration. Now, how does that make you a right-wing extremist? If you are a pro-life organization and that is your focus, don't you have a right to focus on that? If you are an organization that is concerned about illegal immigrants coming into the country, don't you have a right to focus on that particular issue without being branded a right-wing extremist? I think this is this is the prelude to, number one, more gun control that they are espousing, and secondly, to start instituting hate speech laws. Specifically, I'm concerned about the hate speech laws that might be made against the Catholic Church because of its position against abortion. People who are pro-life have to be concerned that a lot of this language now is geared towards them, to shutting them down, to chilling their rights to speak out against those who want to commit abortion. This is just totally outrageous that this kind of document would come out of the federal government of the United States of America. I mean, as I said, I think they are waging war against citizens and waging war against the Constitution of the United States when they make those kinds of statements. And I think Janet Napolitano should resign, and I think whoever wrote this report should resign, and I think this report should be taken back.
Thanks, Richard. We need to stand together in these dark, dark times.
Savage.